This is CliffCentral.com.
So it's Friday. Gareth and Arabella, he's going off to breakfast now. Either that or he's doing something else with the internet. So we've got Dave Levinson as our Friday guest. And Dave, being from Dave Brew, he's...
Yeah, that is the sound of the first bottle of beer that's been opened. Because, Dave, you do this thing where you have a beer tasting on your show every Friday, right?
Yes, we have some. It's the BBC.
The BBC.
We're trying to get like a hashtag, at least get some traction on our show. Some people going to the BBC go, oh, what's this feature?
Okay. Have you ever Googled BBC?
I have, and Gareth has mentioned it a few times.
Have you ever Googled BBC X?
No, I Googled bodybuilder clitoris.
No, it's an acronym for something completely different, BBC.
Bodybuilder clitoris, BBC.
Okay.
You quickly just Google that. No, they are massive. It's like a crow's foot.
I'm Googling BBC paraphernalia. X to like see what comes up.
And go straight to images, Mubs.
Oh, no, you're setting me up for something bad here.
BBC, we haven't told it. That shouldn't happen.
Are we waiting whilst you Google?
No, you guys can carry on because it's taking me straight to the BBC logo.
You know
what?
You shouldn't get people to Google things at 8:30 in the morning because they're definitely at their desk and they're definitely going to get fired.
No, it's not. Is this part of the dark web that you're trying to get me into?
No,
because
it's just the BBC logo that pops up. So this is not working.
You didn't Google properly.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you, BBC. Like if you type it in Pornhub or something, you get big black cock. So it's all those sort of videos.
Funny how when Gareth's not here, the show just dead.
How did you guys not know the acronym for BBC?
No, we did.
No,
we
I did.
We just didn't feel like saying big black cock on a Friday morning.
I'm going to hand this over your desk.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
All right, this is the beer that we're tasting.
So Dave, what's the first?
Welcome to the first. You have to welcome to the BBC. Welcome to Breakfast Beer Tasting.
Thank you very
then
much.
Then we play the song from Breakfast Club.
Okay.
In the background.
Yeah.
And then we just sip the beer. It's not anything to do with anything other than I'm trying to get people to enjoy not drinking chemically. I don't mind all beers.
Yeah.
But taste the difference. Taste the flavors and the flowers and the florals.
You're not one of those beer hipsters.
Nothing. I hate them. Okay. Someone said, I'm a beer snob. I said, well, buy me a beer, snob.
Is craft beer still as big a thing as it was, say, maybe a year or two
you
ago?
You asked me about my beer. I drink most of the ones that I make. So my business model isn't working. I buy like a batch and then I sell them to my friends. And it's when I go and sell the beer, we'll drink four of the 10 that I sell him. And it's just fun. I'm just having so much fun doing it. It's an in.
Yeah.
Look at me. We wouldn't be coming in here drinking beer at 8 o'clock in the morning.
No.
I'm in. Foot in the door.
Dave, I tell you what, we actually brought you here not because of your beer. So you should.
No, I don't sell it. It's not a public product. Love branding.
I'm just saying that we would have had you here even. Well, this is just a bonus.
I like the fact that Dave brought beer for us to drink. I'm not complaining about this. It's a Friday. It's the weekend.
Do you like beer?
I do.
Are you tasting like a florally caramel?
You know, I'm not going to pretend to be some kind of beer connoisseur and sound like those wine people who say, I'm sensing a hint of woody whatnot. I don't know, man.
Listen, I'm sensing.
It's beer, it tastes good,
and
I like
it. You can sense a woody, you must come down to my,
I actually cut some audio from a recent beer tasting that Dave actually had.
Here we go again. Same thing.
Someone weeing in
what
in
country
something.
Were you in? Because that guy in the
Madagascar.
Background.
That is the sound. That's either rain or someone's pissing in something.
You're not very talkative.
Now beer tastings get wrecked.
So Dave, I want to have a physical interview in the show here with Gareth Saway, because whenever we get comedians in here, a lot of them aren't funny. You are.
They
very
seem to
funny.
Be very serious. Have you noticed
very
that?
Serious.
Like, although Mark Banks will take the whole place over, you'd be screwed. He'd probably take you.
But like, I know with you, you are actually quite funny. Otherwise, you know, this is why the two of us are hitting the event gig together,
the circuit as they call
Screw
it.
Screw you, Michael.
They call it the event circuit. If you want to discuss sport without any, what's the word I'm thinking of? Censorship. Then we'll do that. The first thing we do on stage when we do our show is we tape Nick Mallett's mouth closed.
Yeah.
And then we tape Nas Buerta's overdraft.
Okay, Dave, you're giving away all your good humor.
No. Is that what we use for the show?
No. I just want to ask you. So the thing that fascinates me most about comedians is how the hell did you get into comedy? Because firstly, it's very daunting. Secondly, not much money. And thirdly, I mean, you didn't get into it just so you can start making beer.
That's exactly the thing. There was a guy who I used to work with. I was a graphic designer, and I used to caption the magazines that I designed, but often the sub editor wouldn't check the captions, so the captions would go through And they were very funny. So there was a picture. It was SABC TV Talk magazine. You know, there's people shaking hands. And then I would caption it, like, really nothing to do with the story. And eventually, the guy says, Dave, these captions are brilliant. Why don't you do comedy? I said, I know how to do comedy. He says, but that's what all it is. It's saying something funny that no one sees, but you see it. So it's an angle thing. And then he said, I'm doing this comedy show that I'm filming. Come and do 5 minutes. And I eventually went there, just spoke about it. And I was exactly the best thing. I didn't know the rules. Mm. I didn't know what slapstick was. I didn't know what one-liners were. I thought that's what you do. You go, like, you make your friends laugh at home, go and do it for 40, 50, 100 people. And that's what I did. And I did 25 minutes. I was asked to leave.
But how does one...
It just felt so good.
How does one actually know that they're funny enough, though? Because I imagine there are a lot of people who think, yeah, I'm funny, and then they try comedy, and then they discover that, no, actually, you're not that funny. You failed.
Do you want to do comedy?
No.
I'm just making you say no. the thing now, you could go to a place. If your friends around the bar or the chatty place, they say, listen, you've got some funny stuff. Why don't you try? There are places you can go where you can do open mic. When I started in 97, we had to start our own club. So it's kind of backwards. The guy said, where are you going to do comedy? I said, I don't know. I'll do it here. So we started this place called the Coffee Lounge on a Tuesday night.
Which was an existing coffee lounge, essentially.
It was a coffee lounge downstairs, and then upstairs was a warehouse, which we just cleared away the chairs and put some poofs in there. And then people started...
Dave, you can't use that word anymore.
Yeah, ottomans.
It's 2016, Dave.
We put some ottomans and some poofs sat on the ottomans.
Okay.
What words can't you say anymore? My God, is that the P word?
It depends. I mean, how...
But now you'd have somewhere to go. You could go to places and try it out. And it's crazy to watch these guys going, I'm funny around the bar, and you watch them bomb. But if you've got funny bones, then you must definitely come back again. But some people don't get the message. You got to go, listen, just don't do this.
But how do you guys keep coming back after bombing? Because I hear this from a lot of comedians. Is that, oh, look
no,
at you.
No, can't ask Dave. He's never bombed.
Look at you.
He's bombed, but he hasn't bombed.
Because, you know,
I may have bombed, but I'm in denial. I will leave that gig going, thank you, yeah, and good night. Vote for me in the Comics Choice Awards.
Okay. No, because you'll hear a lot of comedians say, oh no, bombing is part of the process. But I always think to myself, but then how do you convince yourself to come back from that the next time?
If the reasons are your own, if you went there and gave your best and you bombed, then you've got to start saying, hang on a minute, people couldn't see me, the sound was bad, or blame it, whatever it is. But if you're a pro, like if you've had some crap shows here, where you just said, well, this didn't work.
Yeah.
You didn't stop coming to work. No. You came back to work.
True. Yeah.
So it's my job. I've got to, like, if we kind of didn't bomb at our gig, those people were laughing.
They were laughing.
It's a room full of men. That's the other thing. Like a lot of times,
we could have been better.
When you marginalize any audience, you're going to work harder. I've done comedy gigs for 12 people. That is the most difficult gig.
I can imagine.
Because, you know, if you've got 100 people and 10 don't laugh, that's 10%.
Yeah.
With 12 people, if 6 don't laugh, it's only 50%. But that's the audience that's done.
Yeah.
So you go back, man, and you try it again, and you keep going.
But do you think it's like kind of... when you started back in the 90s.
Or if everything fails, you make beer.
Yes. Get them drunk and they'll start laughing.
But like in the 90s when you started, right, criticism was very much like, you suck, move on. Now it's like social media. People are going to dog you. They'll probably follow you home.
Yeah, I noticed that.
People are
really,
going to record
really
you.
Abusive.
People are going to record you bombing and then it's going to go viral.
27 Derwent Road, Modafontein. Follow me home. I dare you.
So would you say it would be kind of harder for guys to get going now, even though there's more opportunity?
It could actually be the opposite. It could be easier to get going because you got an immediate audience. If someone's critiquing me in comedy, I'm like, yes, I've got you. That means you're watching my stuff,
okay,
listening to my stuff. That's great. Like this show would be listened to. It's still got a breakfast show vibe to it. So you've got more listeners. With that other show, where we got your sports show, you said you had 200 downloads.
About 250 a week.
Some are they all loving and sending things in? That was great. Or some sending thing like, Ben, I don't agree with you. You have no idea what you're talking about.
This one guy really wants me to talk about hockey. So, you know, we're at odds there. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen. Spoiler alert in that one.
Tell him to go to that hockey club in Fishhook where that guy hit the guy with a stick.
Ben won't talk about hockey or cycling. He hates the cyclists.
Why? I'm doing the 94.1.
Are you a cyclist?
No way.
You're part of the problem.
I'm doing it for tourists, kids or something.
Yeah, but... Okay.
It's such a cool charity, man. You can go there with a Tourette's charity. You can go there and say, fuck you guys, this was fucking brilliant. You guys are a bunch of cunts.
And then it really completely came out. It's like,
then the guy said, Dave, it's for autism. I was like, oh.
Okay, this is awkward.
Okay,
you guys aren't a bunch of cunts.
But I did get that wrong. But I'm doing the other 51.2.
Okay. But
people correct me. They say it's a 94.7. I say, I'm not doing the whole thing. I've been doing the 48.1.
It's so true. For the last 3 years, four years, I've been on the route, okay? So basically, one of my...
You just don't do it.
No, I don't do it. I'm just
there. Is it a Cliff Central thing?
No, I'm just
there. Do we get a tent? Do we get a little thing?
I don't know.
I want to sponsor the beer.
There is such a hatred for cyclists by Cliff Central. I don't think we could ever set up a tent there.
No, well, one of my clients who I do some MC work for, I sit on the side of the road and I talk to the cyclists. And
who
so
you hate.
Yeah, so I don't like them much, right?
You know, you just lost that gig.
I think the economy lost me that gig last year. So, but it's like late in the day, right? It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. If you haven't finished the race by three, maybe cycling's not for you. And I'm halfway.
What time do they start?
And there's like 50 k's to go and it's 3 o'clock. And these people, and they're not in good shape. You can see they're
doing
not
good. But what if you left late on one of those groups?
What's the last group that goes out? Like 10?
The blind tandem riders.
Yeah, but that's like 10 o'clock.
Do the professional fastest riders go first?
Yeah, do you get you out at half past five? Yeah, so 4:35.
But the thing is, they've got 50 k's to go, and they've got maybe 4 minutes to do it.
And they're up against Ben Karpinski, who hates them.
And there's me.
They're trying to avoid you with your mic with a big foam thing on.
So you're right. It isn't the 94.7. It's the 51.03.
But that's what I'm doing for Else for Autism. We're riding in Ernie's Army. And we're riding with a few celebrities. Maybe you should, because one of them is.
I'm not a celebrity, so.
But what if you? What if you? No, we've got thingy. What's his name? The ex Springbok Lock with a beard. Famous guy.
That's we all know who you're talking about. Obviously.
That guy. Yeah. The Springbok played 3,000 tests. Him. He's playing. He's riding with us. A few other cricketers.
Victor Matfield. Yeah.
Victor Matfield.
He's got a name. Yeah.
He's gonna come ride with me. Come ride with me, Vic. Hmm.
Dave, why is there a dude outside the studio with your name on his shirt?
Do you think I haven't just taken over the world? There was, you know the Goliath and Goliath vibe?
The Goliath clan, yes.
Right, they do this branding thing. They do it everywhere. They put Goliath and Goliath. So I did this thing, which is a roast battle, and I had to roast Nicholas Goliath. So I walked on stage with a Levinson and Levinson shirt.
Is that Nicholas Goliath?
That's Warren Robertson, and that's my co-host on the Gas Comedy Podcast.
Do you have to pay them to wear those shirts?
No, he's just wearing it.
Doesn't look like a fan. He just brushed you off.
So Dave, what are your sort of favorite gigs? This is very nice, actually. What are your favorite gigs?
Gigs are unfortunately not corporate gigs.
Yeah, obviously.
Because you can't say what you really want to say. The best gigs are club gigs. You go down to Kitchener's on a Tuesday night, and I'm an improvised comic. I don't do... written set. So, like, I'll talk about what's happening now.
I found that out this week.
Sorry. So you don't do a whole lot of prep work after a great week in Parliament, you line your stuff up.
I don't even go near the parliamentary stuff.
You don't go near the politics?
That's what they want from you, man. We talk about them so much. They've become celebrities. I had an interview when I first started comedy. My agent was in the newspaper on the front page. So I phoned, I said, hang on a minute here. You're an agent and you're on the front page of The Tonight. That's not what's been. You're my agent.
Yeah, you're supposed to be on the front page.
And what we do with politics as well is we turn them into celebrities. So that's why Julius Malema can say, we are leaving Parliament. No, we voted for you because we are economically disenfranchised. We want you in Parliament to fight for us. Don't keep leaving. And the thing that he does is that it's quite sneaky. Like he goes, we are leaving now. And those guys that do that in arguments with their girlfriends, like, I'm leaving. That never works. It's never solved anything. But I hate even talking about it. I get frustrated.
Okay.
So, I mean, Conrad Koch can do the politics stuff. And also, they're not that funny.
Yeah, because,
hey,
I mean...
politics is so funny. Hey, Dave, you must have so material. I'm like, no, politics shouldn't be funny.
Good point, actually. No one's ever said that.
It should be very serious.
So then what,
you're
more of an improv guy, so you'll get on stage, you'll suss the situation out, and then you'll just...
Look, I have a set that I did, and as Ben will tell you, we do our corporate circuit, and he wrote a script for me, and I think I read it while I was reading it.
No, it was.
And regretted it while you were reading it.
He should write comedy. He's very funny.
It was a basic setup, and then I'm doing it because I learned the script, and then I look right at Dave, and Dave's going... Yes, Ben. Staring at a fucking piece of paper. Anyway, Dave,
am I saying it right? Is it pronounced Ben?
That is correct. Yeah, that was the one thing you got right. Now, Michael, we have a whole list of songs we need to get through, but we've run out of time. But just have one more. Huh? What do we got?
I've got my very favorite.
You should go into radio.
You should not drink beer.
Michael's got a favorite.
Put that beer away. This is one of my very own favorites. He goes by the name of Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber with Skrillex and Where Are You Now? Where Are You Now? Is that the name of the song?
No, that's what we're asking Michael.
That's what Michael's asking himself.
I like that you just back announced the song immediately.
Well, I mean, that's...
It's now 8:35 and 46 minutes.
I'm not going to do that whole Radio 101 thing. But listen, Dave, so what's keeping you busy these days? What are you up to? Where can people catch up with you?
He's busy fixing his car on the weekends.
A lot of charity stuff. I'm doing an Atlanta swimming school charity in October. And then October's actually quite full with corporate events because a lot of people have their golf days and things, so they want a comedian to MC or host for it. And then obviously the main clubs like Parker's Comedy Club, I'm there next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Wow.
Hosting, making it up as I go. Trevor Noah's on the cover of Time magazine.
He's been on the cover of a few magazines.
Can we get Dave on the cover of You?
I mean, I know that
he's... Of You.
I know that Trevor's gone viral recently because apparently he does like a whole tirade on Donald Trump. Like,
did he freak out?
Tears him a new hole or something.
Look, he's not going to be president. The scary thing is that
Hillary
is.
You don't think Trump is going to be president?
People don't realize he should be. I would back him because if the madness of him gets controlled, he won't make any rules. He'll get controlled by the Senate. When Hillary gets in, she's been in there. Her husband was there. She's been in the Senate. She was Secretary of State. She was everything. She's done it. You get her in there, you've got so much trouble.
Don't think Trump is a kind of egomaniac who wouldn't listen to anybody trying to control him, though?
He'll have to, though, because they will control him. You remember his thing about a health thing? He said, we got plans. We got great plans. They're going to be great plans. You'll see. And that's brilliant. Because that's what you want. You want
that
puppet.
But that's not really saying anything.
Anything you want in government is that puppet that just says the stuff. And says, don't worry, we'll run the country. We're the big business. Well, I'm so weird. I said I don't know about politics and I'm into
and
it so
look at
deeply.
You now. Yeah, no, look at
Hillary's
you.
Hillary's the scary one.
Yeah. Oh, you think so? I don't know.
And she's going to be.
Shish. I think it's just a...
Well, Americans...
A case of choosing the lesser of two evils is what they say.
Well, they said, look, we had a black president. We did two terms. Mm. Let's try a chick. Let's do it. It's like all in, you know, in poker.
Let's try, you know, give everyone a chance.
Put all the chips on 28.
Give all the children a chance.
All in on crooked Hillary.
That's the real democracy right there.
All right, guys, we've got to wrap it up because Kat and Ari are lined up for next show. Michael?
Yeah, what's everyone's weekend plans?
It's the weekend.
Dude, I'm working.
It's Michael, finally the weekend.
Comedians have no idea when weekends are.
Why?
Because we work at night. I don't know when the weekend starts to be on a Monday.
Davis is Friday, so this is where normal people get really excited.
I just know I have my kid this weekend. It's, you know, it's a single dad. It's your weekend, Dad.
I'm in Mpumalanga this weekend. I'm working.
What's his name?
Gig.
No.
Are you working?
Yes, I'm working.
What do you do? What do you do? Just do this radio thing. What else do you do?
I write for You magazine.
Can I be on the cover?
No, you actually can't because we never have local people on our cover. It's always international.
It's always those.
No, it's always the Royals or Oprah.
Maybe thinking of Heiskanen.
They just don't think that locals are that important.
I want to be on Women's and Health.
Wearing what?
Home.
Wearing what?
Home and Woman.
Wearing what?
I like women. I like homes. Put me on the cover.
We'll see if we can try work that out for you.
Okay, cool.
All right.
What about you, Ben? Which golf course are you playing this weekend?
I'm playing Royal Joburg West Course at 7:42 on Sunday. It's going to be raining and horrible, so I'll probably come back.
Why don't you come to the King Edward's Preparatory School Carnival?
I don't want to, Dave.
It's on Sunday. Come down to Kep's School. It's a lovely carnival. We'll have tombola and a fete and cakes and shit.
No, I live in 2016. I'm not tombolering.
That word just came out. I don't think they have tombola.
All right, guys, it's time to wrap it up because
do you believe in fate?
It's about to get ugly.
Do you believe in
fate? No, I don't.
Well, there's one on Sunday.
Okay. And with that, you can catch Dave Levinson and his team on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.